Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Nun Amud Aleph. We are two lines from the top with Chizkiya Amar. Just to remind ourselves, we were holding the Gemara yesterday on the bottom of Mentasim Abiz. Asked a question, why the Mishnah assumed that you have to bring the water from the cure? Why can't you bring it the day before from the Me'ah Shiloach, like you normally do for the water of Shiloach Pool, and have in mind that it's not going to be Miskadesh. And the Gemara was assuming 2 points, that A, to require Kedushas Guf, you needed Kavana, and the second thing was that they have to have the exact shear. If you put more than the shear, it also wouldn't be Miskadesh. So there's two reasons why we're assuming that it shouldn't be an issue. So we gave one answer already. We quoted Zairi. He says that there is no shear on both points, and Klisharis and Mekacha Medas. There are two reasons why it would be Miskadesh, and therefore it wouldn't work. That's why the Tana of our Mishnah holds that it's fundamentally problematic to take from the Shiloach, and the Isser of Lina, we mentioned that once something is put in the water of a klisharis, or something that's mekudeshes bekedushas aguf, that it has kedushas aguf, that would make it something in which at that point is subject to lina. Lina means leaving water or wine overnight, and that would be puzzled to use it in the Beis HaMikdash as part of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the first answer. Now the Gemara quotes the second answer. Chizkiya says, Chizkiya Amar klisharis in mekachin el midas. So Chizkiya is tining that this Tana of our Mishnah actually does in fact agree that the water is not automatically going to be subject to lina and be kedusha seguf. You need to have kavana to make it kedusha seguf, and if you have kavana not to make it kedusha seguf, it would not be kadosh yet. So why is there issue with taking the water from the shiluach on Erev Chag and then leaving it overnight and then being mekadosh at nighttime or in the morning, and so it's not, wouldn't it be subject to the laws of lina? So says Chizkiya, because of a gzira, shem yomru ladas niskadshu. There's going to be a gzira the Chachamim made in that people are going to think that they could see water taken from something which seemingly has kedushas aguf. They're going to assume that it was done so intentionally to have in mind that it should be used for the Beis HaMikdash. And then when they're going to see this, they're going to think that there's no halacha of lina. They're going to think, oh, I just saw them put in wine and water in the thing that they were going to use, the sinchas b'shoheva, and they left it overnight. So clearly, they're going to start bringing things which are left overnight for their own korbanos, for the yain of their own nesach, and for their own libations, which would lead to a very big problem, obviously. That's mamish puzzle. So therefore, that's what Chizkiya is coming to Taina. He's disagreeing with Zairi's answer that you can learn the 2 points from the Mishnah. He does agree, maybe about the case of the shear, the first point, that there's no upper limit on the size of the shear of the klisharis, maybe that would be true. However, Chizkiya is rejecting clearly the second point, that a klisharis would be miskadesh, even shalomidas. Chizkiya is understanding that it would be, that the only reason that Chazal made exera over here is that, again, as we mentioned, that people are going to look and see that you're taking from a klisharis, thinking that it was kept overnight. When they see that, they're going to start bringing their own wine and water things that they have to bring, and we're going to be subject to the isra of lina, and that's not much going to be possible for them, so therefore, that's why it's exera derabana. Now there's a third answer. Amar Bianai, Amar Abzera. Bianai quotes the name of Abzera. Third answer. Afilo tema yeshir lamayim. Even if you wanted to taina, if you wanted to argue that there, both nakudas are right, that there is a maximum amount that has to be for the water, and therefore if you do more than that, it would not be a problem of biskadish bekedushas aguf, and also klisharis emekachim v'ladas. So if according to Rabbi Zera now, he's arguing that maybe our taina really holds that both of these things should be fine. That if I'm miskadish with shalomidas, I have in mind not to make it kedushas aguf, then it would not be miskadish. And also if I do more than the shear, it's also not miskadish. So then why in the world would he hold that there's a problem? Why can't you take the water from the Me'ah Shiloach the day before? Or Gzera, the Rabbanan made a Gzera, Shema Yomra Lekidush Yayin Raglayim Milan, that the people are going to see the water taken from this kli sharis, and they're going to assume that they took it from the water for a different purpose, for the fact that they want to be miskadish the Adayim Veraglayim of the Kohen Gadol many days earlier on Yom Kippur. We know that he would use the golden kli sharis to be used in order to do the avoda in the base of Mikdash. So other Kohanim who had a different thing from the cure, they're going to think that this was used for the Kohen Gadol. And then, if that's the case, so then what's going to happen is that they're going to think that the water had been miskadosh b'kedushas haguf from the Kohen Gadol, and you're using it for a totally different purpose. And as they're going to think that it's not subject to the halachas of lina, the simra gzera, that people are going to think the isra of lina doesn't apply. Just like we mentioned with regards to Chizkiya, but he's saying for a different reason they're going to think that, not because of the fact that they're going to think of Gzema Shem Ladas Niskachu, but they're going to think rather that they used it for the Kohen Gadol and you used it many days earlier. Sukkot is 5 days later. They're going to think you're using that same water and use that for the purposes of the kiddush mayim for the mayim for the simplas beishueva, that is not going to be okay. Obviously, then they're going to come to get confused with regards to the iser of lina. So just to summarize, Ziri is rejecting both premises of the Gemara's question that at the end of the day there's no maximum shear for the waters, and that would not be true. And also the fact that you need kavana. He says both of those the Mishnah holds that you need, and Chizk is holding that there's no maximum, but you do need kavana. And Rabbi Yana is saying no, that both are really correct, that there is a maximum shear and you need kavana. So that's a Rabbi Yochanan and Meila Paskins like Chizkia, and the Rambam Paskins like this. So that's a very important point. The Rambam on Sapaskin like Chizkia, that there's no maximum shear, but you do need kavana to make something b'kedusha zaguf, and that's the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Psulei Mikdashin over there. Now, there's also one more thing to mention is that the Amoraim are disagreeing with the maximum shear for the water over here for the water libations. So. So the question is over here. Then, if that's the case, then there would be assuming that there's a maximum shear for a specific korban. A kli sharis would not be miskadeshes if you went over that shear. But the Rambam never mites halacha lamaisa. That's what the Chorin are bothered by. The Rambam never quotes this halacha. That is something that's very interesting. So that's something that's very interesting. And also the Gemara is talking about the wholeness and the chasim of the water of using the water libations and the lina. What would think that pouring it water it would be allowed at nighttime? That's a machlokas. So it's a machlokas Rishonim whether that's really the case on this nekud. Okay, Baz Hashem, we're ready to continue with the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues to the next point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says nishbacha unizgala. If the water spilled or became uncovered, so then the Kohen would refill it from the kiur and they would not be allowed to use the uncovered water because you are not allowed to leave water that was unguarded because we're afraid that a snake would put in his venom into the kli, whatever you're discussing, and that would be an issue of having the wine or the water, because even though we're not eating it, it's still considered missing the shear of all the venom, and therefore it's considered undrinkable, and therefore it would be a problem. Halacha Maisa, by the way, this applies not just to halachas of the Beis Hamikdash, but that's one of the, there's a concept of Mayim Megulim. Mayim Megulim means that there's an Isser because of this same chash, because it's not just for the Beis Hamikdash, but for drinking. You're not, or any purpose of washing your hands, obviously very dangerous to use it, and so the Gemara rules that if you leave it out, the same thing would apply to drinking and eating. So the Shulchan Aruch though famously says in Yoreh Deah that since Bizman Azev, snakes are not matzoi. Since Bizman Azev, snakes are not matzoi. So therefore, a person doesn't have to worry about the salacha, and he doesn't have to worry about leaving water out. The Gra famously argued, and the Gra said, "What are you talking about? When Chazal make a gzera, forgot the numbers. There's like 250. Forgot the numbers. A very large number of kavanas that they have when they made a gzera. They just only publicized one or two that we know about. There's really 250 different kavanas. Also, some pisod, some people nigla, other reasons why Chazal made a gzera. So we can't just assume that because that the batal taima batal gzera, the reason doesn't apply. So we don't know about it. And the Gra is very makbid about using my megulim for anything, for drinking at all, and or using yayin for sure for both those situations. Halacha Maisa, poskim generally try to recommend being machmir lechatchila for the Gra, that you should not leave water overnight. You should always cover it with caps, etc. B'diavad for sure, if there's reasons we make it. Kiddush, I mean, even more problematic. If you left over, let's say, a wine bottle open overnight to use that for kiddush, it would be potentially even more problematic. Now the Gemara says v'amai. Why should the water be disqualified? Why don't we say le'avar ben sanenas? So you could put it through a strainer, and apparently, that if you put it through a strainer, then that would solve the issue of being able to find all the venom and get rid of it. So Gemara says because lema masdisin lo kamei chaim, maybe our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that if you strain out the water in general, it should be fine. The sani masanes yes b'shem giloy. But regarding wine that was used a strainer and you got rid of it, so according to the Tanakam over here, there's still an issue with this using the strainer using this wine because we're afraid maybe the venom is still there. However, Nechemia says Rabbi Yochanan emasai, when is that the case? And it's aser only if it's mancha tachtona megula, only when the lower one is uncovered. Was mancha tachtona mechusa, the lower one is completely covered by the masanes, by the filter, then Alpha Bishal Yona Megula, even though the upper one is uncovered in Bamashim Giloy, there's going to be no issue because it's left in an uncovered state. The wine is going to be filtered properly. And he explains why. Because the venom of a snake is similar to a sponge. Then it's going to start when you use a mesanenes, you float and you're sifting it out and you're straining it out. So then it's going to, the venom will remain in its place on top and it's easily removed, and everything that's going to be safe is going to go to the bottom. There's no issue. It's not even a sakana, safek sakana. So the Gemara, that's actually the Shiloh over here. Daf Pashut, Rav Bluth asked that question. He says, are they all bringing a metzias over here that you could figure? Rav Salvejik always likes to go and share. Rav Salvejik never wanted to tie into any machlokas tanaim or amoraim was a machlokas and metzias. There's always a deeper kavanah over here. So that's always a question that according, whenever there's seemingly already metzias over here, whether or not you're able to strain out the snake's venom or not. So Rav Bluth wants to tie into, no, they're not offering the metzias. Everybody agrees that really a Nechemiah situation would work. He was just, they're pointing out that really when you have a tremendous rove, a huge rove, so Rabbi Nechemiah was saying a ruba de ruba, then there's no reason. It's like 99% chance it's totally fine, 99.9% chance it's totally fine, then that's going to be okay. As opposed to the Tanakama, he is choshesh for chamira, so we have a concept, chamira sakanta misura, that being, we're more machmir for a sakana than we are for. We're more machmir for sakana than we are for regular issur v'heter. So like batal b'shichim probably doesn't apply by sakana. That's whole shaila. If we assume that having fish and meat together is going to be sakana, then there's a concept of chamir misur. If you actually put fish and meat together, it might not be batal b'shichim. That the Achronim talk about that it's probably not batal b'shichim, and it really have to be machmir. So that's a side point. But over here, coming back to the shayla, so that's machlokas over here. Nechemiah holds that there's a miyut to miyut, you can be mekel. Tanakama is so machmir on pikuach nefesh that they would say, no, even that 99.9% chance that you got out the venom, that's why it's still problematic. So now the Gemara again, but the Gemara was pointing out, lachora, but though our Mishnah is against Rabbi Nechemiah, we're trying to bring a proof against the Rabbi Nechemiah like the Tanakama. The Gemara says, no, afilatim Rabbi Nechemiah. Even on a time that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Nechemiah, Emar dam Rabbi Nechemiah, when does Rabbi Nechemiah say, using the strainer is okay, lehedjit, that's for a regular person because it's not a sakana. But according to Nechemiah, you can't use it in the base of Mikdash because Nechemiah is not going to agree to the disqualification of the pasuk which says, we'll read the whole pasuk. Hashem is saying that you're presenting to my Mizbech food that I hate, food is disgusting, or food that you would never have, or blind animal, or something what's wrong with it, something that's lame or sick, or something that's wrong, there's nothing wrong, that you should bring it. You're going to bring this to the governor, you bring this to someone who's of a high stature, you're going to bring it to them. So obviously you shouldn't bring it to Hashem, just as you wouldn't bring these shvacha gifts to a high ranking officer, to a president, to a governor, so too for sure you should not be bringing it to Hashem. So Rabbi Nechemiah is going to agree that using this strainer be'etzem is okay mitzad the halacha of the shayla pikuach nefesh, and it's not a sakana. There's no suffix sakana at all. However, Rabbi Nechemiah is saying that this is also usher for a different reason because of the concept of hakriveyo na lifach secha, to bring it to the governor, that you have to have something that's a very high level, and that applies here using the strainer itself. Menei Abedis, Fasamis points out, is something that is, it would never use for a king. And therefore, the straining itself is something, the very fact that there was a snake in there would never ever be brought to a king. Therefore, you shouldn't be using it in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why Rabbi Nechemiah would agree that it's totally, totally problematic. That's why we mentioned by Kiddush, might be that this concept of Hakrivei Nalf Basecha is going to be something that would apply order by Kiddush, sometimes some are machmir by the Kiddush as well, because it's like we're Mekaddish with it. So therefore, that's why I was mentioning that using the wine that's exposed overnight might be even going to be another issue over here of this din as well. Okay, so we just finished. Hajjan Alach Lula Varava, Hajjan Alach Lula Varava, Hajjan Alach Lula Varava. We're up to the last parak, and it's perfect. The timing right before Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin to be Zocha and another Siyam, Be'ez Hashem, we're supposed to finish before Rosh Hashanah next week, and it's very exciting. Be'ez Hashem. So let's continue with the last parak of Maseches Sukkah. This is going to discuss the next two Mishnayos are going to discuss the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the Simchat they had. So they used to use Hachalel Chamisha Veshisha. The flute was played for 5 or 6 days. So the first question we have to ask is, Zeh Hachalel Shabesa Shoeva, that this is meant by the flute is the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the water drawing, the festival, the water drawing literally was used by a flute. Now the question is, why are we mentioning the flute? We know that they use many, we're going to get to it, and after tomorrow's daf, we're going to see that they use many different instruments. So the commentaries of Mishnah discuss this. The Rambam in his Beis Shemeshnayis explains that they were discussing specifically a flute because that was the main instrument. So that was the Rambam, right? And maybe the Bartanura, the Rav, and they call him the Rav, so they find him, Ravadim Bartanura, on the Mishnayos, he says maybe it was the loudest one. Or it's the Tiferes Zohar explains maybe because it had the best opening and closing notes, so you could tell by way of the way it was played together. Whatever it is, it was some sort of ikur was the Chalil specifically using the flute. So the din over here is the user for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Simchas Beis Shoeva we mentioned before is the Simcha of the water libations. I was preparing for this water libations. It was done on And so, guess Rashi is implying from over here that it was done in honor of the water libations. The Rambam writes that similarly, that the whole reason for the simcha itself is not necessarily connected to the water libation. It was done in conjunction with that, but really the ikar simcha was levesamach lifnei Hashem. And that's what the Rambam implies, that it's really about simcha of the yontiv, the simcha of the yontiv, that we're lifnei Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole Torah about that. Very beautiful idea that whenever we have simcha in connection with the Torah, it's always lifnei Hashem. It's always before Hashem. It's always lifnei Hashem. It's always lifnei Hashem. Whenever the Torah discusses simcha, the idea of simcha, the idea of joyness in our lives is all bringing in Hashem into our life. Having Hashem with us, close to us, that's when we feel a tremendous amount of simcha. So now the Mishnah tells us, this does not, doche, does not override Shabbos or Yom Tov. The Shaila of doche is interesting. Tosfos point this out. But what do you mean, doche? Doche implies that there's a real iser deraisa over here. It's clean on iser deraisa. We know based on the Gemara tells us that the whole reason that in Masechta Beitzah, we'll get to Mishnah next Masechta, that we're going, that the whole issue of playing with instruments in general is that we're afraid it's going to break, and then you're going to come to do an Issur D'Oraisa of Tikkun Mana, fixing your instrument. But etzem playing itself was not is not fundamentally usher. So the Midaraisa, Midarabanan, obviously we have a Gzera. So just agav that, I remember we're learning in history class, I think that was the first thing that the Reform wanted to change. We see that even just one halacha people, they had a taina also. They wanted to be like the goyim, so they wanted to play music on Shabbos. So what did they do? They had a goy. So they said, Shvusta Shvus, only Yisra Rabbanan, and they had a goy play the music. Shvusta Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah, they said we could play music in the shul. That's the first halacha they wanted to change. They had tainas also in halacha, had to argue. We see that when you're not having a proper Masorah, where things could eventually chas v'shalom lead to is how far they've strayed. So either way, going back to the lach of year, that it's not doche, but Tosus bothered by it. It's only Yisra Rabbanan. So Tosus point out, yes, you're right. And Tosus strengthens the question. Fine, only Yisra Rabbanan. So we're going to say we still call that doche Shabbos. But Tosus says there's another problem over here. There's a concept in Shavus Mikdash. There's a concept that the Yisra Rabbanan don't apply a lot, like mutzah, different things do not necessarily apply when it comes to the base of Mikdash. So Tosus says, yes. When do we say that? We know that it's only in conjunction with an actual avoda. Here, since Tosus lashon, it's in elam shem simcha yaseira. It's only to increase the congregation that was there. That's not be'etzem part, not fundamentally part of the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, of the water drawing, and therefore it's not fundamentally part of the Avoda, it's not considered Avoda, and therefore it's not Doche Shabbos. The Rambam seems to imply that they wouldn't have they play it without any music? So the Rambam seems to imply that the celebration didn't take place at all on Shabbos. Either way, so now we're up to the Gemara. Now the Gemara says Itmar. So it's a machlokas in discussing over here, Rav Yehuda v'Rav Einar, So in discussion of the Girsa, what is the correct text? Is it like the way we have it, is Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Is that the celebration of the drawing of the water? No, Simchas HaChashuva. It was the important celebration. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar Zutra, that both have Valentine's, Mandat Shoeva Lo Mishtabish. Each girsa, each text of the Mishnah, again, our text happens to be Simchas HaShoeva, we're familiar with the concept of Simchas HaShoeva, but he's saying that each one is not in error, that each one has a valid source in the Torah, in Tanakh at least, as we mentioned. Well, how do we know that? Mandat HaShoeva Mishtabesh, because it says, he's not mistaken, it says, Ushaftim Mayim Besosot, that you should draw the water with Simcha. We see that rejoicing is in reference to drawing the water, that's a reference to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and that's why you should be happy. We see over here that it brings the Simcha. So then the Gemara says, Man Tane Chashuva Lo Mishtabesh. Also, in Kedusha, we're saying that it's a Chashuv celebration. The Amar Rav Nachman, as we quoted before, Rav Nachman says, Mitzvah Chashuva Hi, that the water libations on Sukkot is Chashuva. How do I know this? It was Sheshem Beis HaRishis, because we mentioned earlier, remember that it came out to Shishis, right? Shisin, rather, that it came from the 6 days of creation, whether or not from the Shisin, that it was done, that this process of the water flowing down was something that was created by Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Sheshem Beis HaRishis. That's how Chashuv it was. And therefore, this mitzvah was done so early, and so it's also very, very chashuv. Okay, now the Gemara discusses a brayso. Tana Rabban Leinu brayso chalal docha es haShabbos. The flute playing in the base of English overrides Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chachamim omrim af yom tov in a docha. Chachamim said that even yom tov it's not docha. So now the Gemara is going to discuss. Rabbi Yosef discusses what's this machlokas all about. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Machlokas b'shir shel korban. The machlokas between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim is only a reference to the shir shel korban. What is that? Meaning the flute they used to play with the nechat nesachim, with the wine libations in the korban tamid shel shachar, korban shel merabayim. On those days where they had halal, that's what we're discussing over here. Those 12 days a year. We normally have the korban tamid was done by musical instruments all year round, but these special 12 days were that they would say halal. The Rebbeim saying halal, they would say halal, and the shir shel yom was different by that point. So these 12 days is what we're discussing over here. That it was done with singing. So Rabbi Yossi is telling that this song is not complete unless you have musical instruments. Therefore, they're playing is ma'akiv the service in Beis HaMikdash. So that's what Iker, so as we're saying now, Rabbi Yossi says, Iker Shira Bekli, that the essential part of singing is with a kli, with an instrument. And therefore, it's considered a mamash navoda. We mentioned, the only reason a shfus is in tocha this tinder abanan is because it's not an avoda. It's just, like the Tosa says, just increasing the simcha of a simcha d'shoyev. It's not ma'akev the din. However, here, when it comes to this, playing with the korbanos, that's mamash navoda, and therefore it's tocha Shabbos. We mentioned something that's an ikar avoda is going to be tocha Shabbos. So then, what comes out according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda is that playing musical instruments about with all the karbanos all year round and every Shabbos the Chor is going to be mutter. Now the Gemara says Rabbanan savi ikar shira beper. Rabbanan hold that ikar shira, ikar singing and song is singing with your mouth, and that the Levim singing the Tehillim, singing the Shir Shalom, that's what the din of the ikar avodah v'lavodah. Therefore, the music accompaniment is also increasing that simcha, which is what was the ikar simcha again, was only singing with your mouth. So therefore, we're learning that. Therefore, Ve'ino Dochas Shabbos is not going to override Shabbos. Aval Shir Shel Shoeva. But the song of the water drawing celebration, everybody is going to do. Kol Simchahi Ve'ino Dochas Shabbos. Everyone's going to agree. It's just enhancing the rejoicing. It's not Ikar Avodah, as we just mentioned, and therefore everyone's going to agree. It's not Dochas Shabbos. It's not, so there's no psukim for that. It's not an integral part of the Simchas Ve'Shoeva process, and therefore, it's, again, we want, it's very important that we should increase the Simcha. This Simcha, we're going to see, the Mishnah says that someone who didn't see a Simcha, never saw a Simcha in his life, but still, that Be'etzem is something that is something that's not Docha Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yosef wants to argue that this is, bring a proof that this is the Machlokes. I'm going to bring a proof, this is what they're arguing about, that at the end of the day, whether or not that singing is essential, or is Ikar Shira B'Peh, or is Ikar Shira with a Klei Shir. The son, as we learn in the Braisa, Klei Sharis She'asan Shel Eitz. With regards to a kli sharis that they made from wood, most of the basic mikdash kelim needed to be a kli sharis, and the kli sharis needed to be something other than wood. So the Gemara is going to mention that there's machlokes. So Rabbi posts, Rabbi says that they're pasul, they're invalid. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, machshir, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that they're kasher. My love, bakum ufei. Isn't this we're arguing about? Months, machshir, savar, ikar, shir, bekli. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that the essential singing is with instruments. So therefore, we're learning out that musical instruments are used in basic mikdash are going to be a kli sharis. Be'alfinam, be'abuva, de Moshe. And therefore, we're learning out from the Moshe's flute. Moshe had a flute, apparently, that was made of. Is going to be made of wood, and therefore we can learn from there that you're allowed to have kelim, because with Moshe's flute was ma'akev the avoda, it was an ikar part of the avoda. So then, according to that, we see from there that using a thing of wood is going to be mutter. Uman de pasul sover ikar shira b'peh. The one who says that Rebbe that says that the ikar shira is by vocal, the fact that Moshe's flute. The fact that Moshe's flute was made of wood doesn't teach me anything about the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Because again, if singing with the klei shir, with the musical instruments, is a fundamental part of ma'avoda, and it was used when we know we have a masorah that Moshe had a wooden flute, then we would know that it's something that's ma'akev. However, if it's not a fundamental part of the avoda, it's just something enhancing the simcha, then that's the machlokas over here that they're hunting. It's not ikar shir's bepeh. Singing is the ikar, and they would only use this not on Shabbos, and therefore that's not considered a klei of the Beis Hamikdash, and we can't learn that kelim that used of wood is going to be kasher. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not the machlokas over here." Nikuli alma ikar shira bekli. Everyone's going to agree that the ikar shira, that the ikar shira is bekli. So then, what do they argue about Moshe's flute? Here, they're learning a machlokas whether or not you can learn something which is from a possibility to something that's impossible. So over here, as Rashi is pointing out, let's say you have something which the fact that you have something that's kosher for the wood or other kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, can we learn it out from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe's flute was made of wood, where metal would not have served well for a metal flute. Though it, apparently the Rashi points out that the voice is the sound that comes out isn't as sweet. So there's no other way to make a chalil other than using a wooden instrument. If they used a metal instrument, it would have ruined the chalils. It would have ruined the flute's playing abilities. So therefore, we're stuck making it out of wood. However, for all the other kelim, you don't need that. It's not a necessary thing to make it out of wood. It wouldn't better enhance the kli. So then we can't learn from there that they should be allowed if they're made accidentally out of wood. So the Mara says, the one who validates it, so Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to say that we can learn from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu used something that's wood, even though it only because of the only way to have a flute that plays proper music is with wood. Still, we can't learn. We're able to learn it from other halachas. However, my apostles say, no, you can't do that. Lo dan in Asher Mashiach. You can't learn from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's flute only was able to be a kli because it was impossible to use one of the metals. So you can't learn it for every other kli in the base of Mikdash. You have no right to learn that. So now the Gemara suggests a different way to explain the machlokas that would not depend on whether or not Whether or not Iker Shir is Bekli or Iker Shir is Bepeh. The Gemara says, anyway, we could give another way to explain the Machlokas. Everyone agrees that the essential way of singing is when it comes to Bepeh. So this is the other way to explain it. The other man Amar says Iker Shir is Bepeh. Everyone's going to agree that singing is the Iker point of the Avodah of the Beis HaBeitish and not the musical instruments. So V'ein Dan and Asher Mashiach Shir, and everyone agrees that we're not able to derive something that's possible from impossible, and it was not possible from Moshe's flute to made of metal, so you can't learn halacha over here. So what are they arguing about? Whether or not we can learn from Moshe's flute. It's a different machlokas and Gansin, totally different machlokas. There's two general tracks of how to understand when the Torah has a halacha, and then it comes to minimize that halacha. It comes with a certain prat, it comes with a specification, and that specification comes and limits that halacha, and then it comes back to include everything else. So we should be familiar a little bit with one of them, is kalar pratu klal. Klal Pratu Klal is a concept that we say every day in Rabbi Shmuel, hopefully we say every day in Rabbi Shmuel, that Klal Pratu Klal, Yata Den Elak Einar Prat. The lacha is that you have a generalization and something specifying that, eliminating that generalization, and then the Torah goes back to generalize it. You're only allowed to include things which are similar to the Keinah Prat, similar to the specification. Something is going to be much more limiting. So Klal Pratu Klal in general is much more limiting drasha, as opposed to Riboy Miut to Riboy. Riboy says we're including, a Miut means that we're coming to, again, there's two tracks, it's totally the same thing. The other track is that you have something in the Torah, again, it's the same exact thing, is that you have something that's generalized, it's a riboy, it includes everything, then a miut says, no, don't apply it to that, and then riboy comes back to Mirabe. It's all that you're limiting is something like the only thing that's going to be excluded is something that's similar to the miut, which is dissimilar to a miut, is something that's similar to the miut is going to be excluded from the drasha. Everything else would not be. So it's much less limiting. Whenever you have riboy miut to riboy, it's going to be much less limiting in the drasha. Now the Gemara is going to flesh out how we learn it out. So Gemara says, when it comes to the menorah, b'klal erpatu merubi miut to kamlifikah. The machlokas is whether we learn the menorah, should you use the method of the generalization specification, or should you use the concept of riboy miut, including and excluding? So how does that work? Rebbe darish klal erpatu. Rebbe is going to learn a klal erpat, and how does that? And Rebbe Yosef Rebbe is going to be darish riboy miut. The Gemara help us flesh this out. The Gemara says, Rebbe darish klal erpatu. Rebbe is going to be darish the concept of something that's generalized and specific, as the Torah is going to mention. Vasisa menorah, and it says that you should make a menorah. Menorah zahav. Menorahs. We're not Zahav yet. And then say it, make a menorah. That implies you can make a menorah, general statement, you can make a menorah of any material. However, then it says Zahav Tor. It has to be pure gold. That is a specification that is specifying that should be made of pure, of gold. However, then it goes back, Miksha Tase Menorah. That should be hammered out menorah. That's a generalization because it doesn't mention which type of metal has to be. So if we have a klal prata klal, if we have the fact that as a klal, again, is Vasisa Menorah, is talking about a klal, that's a generalization of any type of metal, then a prat specifically has to be gold, and then it goes back and says any type of metal. So Yadon Ela Kena Prat, we learn from here that when it comes to the other Kelim Leis and Migdash, they have to be similar to the prat, the specification. So therefore, Ma Prat, Mevufura Shematechas, just as the specification is talking about not just anything, but it has to be specifically metal. It's mentioned in gold. That any type of metal is going to be, gold is one of the metals. Af kol samateka. So any kli, any metal is going to be acceptable for the menorah, and the menorah is going to be similar to any other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and it has to be something specifically shel matechas. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, Darish Riboy Miut. So then you're going to be much more specific that you can only learn, that you can have metal kelim be kosher in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, he is Darish the other concept, the other way of Riboy Miut and Riboy. That you're going to have, when something is, you have a Riboy, something that is increased, is something that's mirabe, that is inclusive, and then excluding something. So then we learn out Vasisa Menorah is Riba. The fact that it says you should make a menorah is a general statement, that refers to all types of material. And then Zahav Tar is Miut, and it says pure gold, that's limiting it to range of material, something similar that's only metal. Miksha Tasa Menorah is going back, Chazar Riba, then we're going back and coming to include. So then we're learning from here, Riba Umiot, Riba Akol. That we're learning out the Torah is coming to include everything, and excluding my, so then it's coming to exclude something, my Ribe Grimi Komili, it's coming to include everything. All material is going to be kosher, even wood. So then what's coming to exclude? So we say one specific thing is coming to exclude. So what's it coming to? My Miet, what's it coming to exclude over here? The Gemara says now, Miet Shel Cheres, it's coming to exclude earthenware. Since earthenware, which is not fit for royalty, so therefore it's something that's unlike gold, which is therefore not going to be suited for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it's something that's going to be possible. You cannot use earthenware or the Beis HaMikdash, but you can use metal and can use wood. So there's a fundamental machlokas here, how to learn, nothing to do with the lacha of, is there shira bepeh? Is ikar shira bepeh? Is ikar shira bekli? Is the main way of saying ikar shira is bepeh or bekli? That's nothing to do with our lacha over here. Our lacha is specifically going to be addressing whether or not we learn Riboy Miut, and then you can't learn anything from ikar shira bepeh, ikar shira bekli, and therefore the Gemara has rejected Rav Yosef, saying that that's the taina of the machlokas over here. Kavash Shem will pick up with Amar Afapa in tomorrow's daf.